I wonder what you were doing on January the 6th. Well, that's not an invitation to, well, where's my diary or my phone, but I just wonder if you can think back to that particular time. Might have been somewhere near the end of your Christmas and New Year break, and you were feeling, oh dear, I've got to go back to work. Or maybe if you have one of those very organized households, there might have been, now we've got to take all these decorations down and we've got to do it tidily and carefully. Or maybe just, well, Christmas was lovely, wasn't it? Oh dear, we've got to wait for another year before all that. Some people will call that day Twelfth Night. And they'll remember somehow that tied up with January the 6th is this idea of some wise men finding their way to Jesus. You may have had a slight problem this year. I would have done if I'd not been on holiday. But in that some people decided we'd better do the covenant service that Sunday. And therefore, the possible celebration that you might have gone into for that particular day had to be put to one side. But however you think back to January the 6th, whatever your memories, something about these wise men who came to Jesus, it isn't going to be long before you're going to pick up a strange word that I guess perhaps we don't normally use in everyday vocabulary. In fact, if I asked some of you to spell it, you'd probably suddenly be looking the other way and not noticing that I was calling out to you. The word is epiphany. Epiphany. And that word starts around somewhere with January the 6th, and there's a question where it goes from there. An epiphany, I think, is one of those blinding moments when something you've worried about and puzzled at, suddenly without, you don't know what happened, but suddenly it's all clear and it makes sense. If you remember doing those dreaded equations in your school's maths, and you struggled with that, gosh, and suddenly you saw it. Or are you one of those people who fights with crossbirds? And you just, what is this person on about? Oh, there it is. And so, however much epiphany might sound to be a religious word, if I can put it that way, it might also be something that actually does happen. Almost, we might say, it's when the penny drops. When we get one of those flashes of understanding, or something clicks, or our eyes are opened. And yet, oddly enough, however much we want to link epiphany with January the 6th and the wise men, you could search for a very long time through the Bible, and you won't find the word epiphany anywhere. But in a sense, for those, was it three people? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. We've put our own sort of interpretations around it. There was an epiphany when they were brought to that tiny baby in rather unsavory surroundings. They suddenly... They knew here was somebody very special. Here was going to be some very great king. And so sometimes that Sunday, that particular day, it isn't always a Sunday, January the 6th is known as the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. An epiphany for those magi, if we want to use the Latin term for them. A revelation. Something they would be astounded at, something they would never forget, particularly in the circumstances around that birth, where there was very much one nation is more important than others, and there are those who don't count at all. And here, this revelation, this breakout, this gasp, there's something here for every person, great or small, near or far, old or young, however you want to go on about it. And therefore I hope that on January the 6th, whatever your mood may be, and however much you've been nagged about those decorations that have got to come down, you will also remember Epiphany, a time of a great burst of light, a great sign of truth, and something that is immensely important for all of us and for our world. But I'm not sure I entirely want to tie up Epiphany, the thought of Epiphany, just with January the 6th, or maybe if you're very sort of good about your church year, you stretch it to the next Sunday and think, there, well, that'll be enough, won't it? After all, what comes before Christmas is a great epiphany, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and in such humble and uncomfortable and down-to-earth ways. There are, of course, others who say, oh, well, no, just a minute. Epiphany is a season. It wasn't just one particular day for celebration. And here, as I did a little bit of research, computers can be very, very helpful in this sort of thing. It seems you can, if you want to, stretch on this Epiphany thing for quite some way. For some, it'll go on for a few Sundays and then fade out. For others, it'll stay till Candlemas, which is early in February, and which in some churches is the time when the baby Jesus was first taken to the temple. But I've discovered there's at least one church, certainly in Germany, well, no, they want a longer Epiphany than that, and they'll take it right up till the day before Lent starts. And for some reason, therefore, another Epiphany from Scripture comes out, and the Transfiguration is, in many churches, the word from the Bible on that Sunday. So again, Epiphany, and a very mysterious event, which I won't divert into now, because I might be preaching somebody's sermon or pinching somebody's sermon for some days ahead. Very interesting and probably totally irrelevant. If you go to the Church of England in particular and ask for their list of Bible readings, you'll notice that Epiphany, and then quite a few of these Sundays, I think at least until Candlemas, which is next Sunday, are Sundays after Epiphany. Go to our lectionary. Ordinary Sundays. And then when we sort of escape from them until we get across past Pentecost and Trinity, we're back to ordinary Sundays, which go on and on and on, which I think is most unfair to certain parts of our Bible, but perhaps, again, I'm indulging in a little bit of a slight diversion that's there. In a sense, Epiphany was touched upon in both our Bible readings. You heard the Apostle Paul saying he'd gone through a period and suddenly he realized his calling to proclaim Jesus. You realize, I suppose, for Jesus, coming right out and reading what he read and saying what he said, the epiphany that he had received, others began perhaps to sense this isn't just some other person, this isn't just some ordinary prophet, there's something else here, and the light began to shine. And in one sense, I think we shouldn't forget this theme of Epiphany when we even journey on in the church's year. When we come, for example, to Palm Sunday. When we come to Good Friday. There is, in a sense, the shining of a light. There is a wonderful truth that we can grasp if only we're willing and don't sort of, no, I don't believe in that sort of thing. There is epiphany to be found as the story of the resurrection breaks out, and then the mystery of ascension, and then we come to Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit. Gosh, what an epiphany was that! How the church has been left with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So I think it's perhaps rather good to hold on to the idea of Epiphany, not just for the immediate days and Sundays after January the 6th, but begin to see it as in fact what God is constantly up to, what he has done particularly through Jesus and inspired by the Holy Spirit, is helping others of us. Suddenly the penny drops. Suddenly it's all clear. There is great love. There is great salvation. And it's come at great cost and in great mystery and in ways that we don't really understand at all. But then perhaps we don't even need to stop there. I wonder if Epiphany has been something or is being something in our lives. If many of us were invited to say how we became Christian, what was our matter of conversion? We'd probably say, well, something happened. There was a moment, maybe out of nowhere, maybe from a brilliant preacher, maybe from some unpleasant experience. And what we'd sort of, well, yes, we've heard of Jesus, haven't we? And he died on the cross. But suddenly, that became for me. He's done that for me. And perhaps you can never explain quite how that happened. But you had there, whether it was very, very sudden, or whether there was a long period of waiting, inquiring, and wondering, and the light shone, and you had that particular epiphany. Of course, epiphany can be a troublesome thing, perhaps, as well as a brilliant and wonderful thing. Because the epiphany where we suddenly realize Jesus is my Savior, the Spirit is upon me, we then started to think, now just a minute, is this going to get out of hand? Or maybe somewhere in the epiphany of our Christian experience, we sensed that God was pushing something at us that we ought to be doing. And we were saying a bit impolitely, Lord, you don't really want me to do that, do you? You don't expect that? Or perhaps the minister had been banging on about a particular office in the church, a particular duty. Must have somebody to do that. And that something got inside you and, Lord, you're not asking me to go and do that, are you? Or maybe the epiphany was even more frightening. There was talk about how we need to love each other. We must make sure nobody is lonely, care for everybody. And the light began to shine and the whisper came, now there's old so-and-so. You can't stand them. And most of the others can't either. Lord, you're not really asking me. Come on, be sensitive. You're not asking me to go and make friends with and support them, are you? Epiphany, yes, it may be something, not in the word, not in the Bible. It may go back into this matter of the seasons and all the rest of it. It may be God mysteriously revealing things to us. It may be how we've become Christians. But equally, I suppose it might just be a little bit uncomfortable if suddenly, God, take that. I can't cope with doing that. It's not really fair. perhaps we really need to take this concept of Epiphany away from a special time of the year or a special celebration. Perhaps we need to take it actually into our everyday Christian experience, our normal walk as Christian disciples. And we have to learn that maybe God is wanting to shine his epiphanies in all sorts of ways and at all sorts of times, and in some ways that we're just going to be absolutely caught out. Where did that come from? But perhaps it isn't something we should say, oh, that's going to happen to other people, not to me. It needs to be something all of us as Christians, as we journey on our discipleship, need to be ready that this God who specializes in epiphanies is from time to time going to shine one right in our face. You know, when you've been in the car and suddenly, one of those rare days when we get sunshine, you get absolutely dazzled. And maybe there, if you like, in rather more human terms, is one way of trying to unpack or understand Epiphany. Perhaps sometimes we've got a bit ordinary about God. I seem to remember, I can't remember which one, but there was a particular product, getting the inevitable adverts to interrupt your television viewing. And this one had something about, this gives you more. This gives you more. And maybe the theme of Epiphany should remind us that we don't need to say, well, God hasn't got too much for me, has he? You know, he's busy and the rest of it. God is a God who gives you more and asks us to be waiting and ready and looking, but on his terms, not ours. Sometimes a lot of waiting and a lot of patience. But we don't quite finish there either. Has it occurred to any of us that as Christians, we need to be an epiphany? There needs to be something in us that suddenly shines into the eyes of others and they say, gosh, that's something there I think I'd better find out more about. Why is that person so good or so generous or so kind or so determined or so dedicated? Perhaps being Christian means that we've got to not just be open to the epiphany of this God who gives us more and keeps on shining that light and disturbing us and frightening us and rejoicing us and comforting us, but he wants us, now go on, reflect it, be a kind of mirror for me, be an epiphany so that people around you will see and will learn. I think then, of course, there's another aspect to that, and that is the danger that sometimes we might do something that actually isn't an epiphany. You know, we get into some situation we wish we hadn't, and there's somebody saying, I thought that person's a Christian. And look what they did. And look what they said. I'm not having any of that. I'm not going near church. And where the privilege and the fright of epiphany that might have spoken to somebody else has gone wrong, and we've done damage to someone that God might have liked to be able to use us to shine his epiphany, that somebody else would find their saviour. Don't know how many of you read the Methodist Recorder, but I'm going to pinch a little bit from what somebody wrote. It was a retired minister who was actually writing about people who serve as chaplains. And he wrote this under the heading of The Hand of Friendship. Incidents that happen in their work, that's the chaplain's work, where the very fact of their presence has a spiritual significance in itself, and a touch of Jesus comes through. Sometimes, and I think perhaps he's talking to all of us, not just to those who have the privilege of and the mighty weight of Christian chaplainship. Sometimes it's associated with a shake of the hand, in some instances a hug, or simply when we say hello to someone. We don't have to be chaplains. In our own way, we are all called to share this outlook, this outreach, to shine. Jesus, shine. So I think we've journeyed a long way from January the 6th, and the wow, that baby's for all the world, all can come in. But I believed God would like to shine his light and doesn't want us going around with special glasses not to get dazzled, but to be prepared. Lord, help me to be ready when you want to say something, when you want to shine that light on me. And then to pray, well, Lord, may my life be an epiphany for somebody else, and please help me not to fail there. Or better still, let me quote the words of Jesus himself from the Sermon on the Mount. Your light must shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. The song we sang before the sermon wasn't accidental. Shine, Jesus, shine. Amen.